Almighty God, on this most wondrous of nights, when we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, please take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, challenge our hearts and our minds and bring transformation in our lives, that we would be changed to be your people. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel reading this evening told the story, the historical account of Jesus' birth, also known as Jesus' incarnation. Incarnation is the word upon which our Christian celebration of Christmas is grounded. It's the word describing the living word. Latin, incarno, to make into flesh or to be made flesh. The true Christian foundation of Christmas is not simply a birth, but the birth, the incarnation. God the Son submitting himself to be born in human flesh. In 1975, John Stott, the famous Anglican pastor and teacher, declared, "There are many Jesuses abroad today." And he continued, "It's over and against these human reinterpretations of Jesus that we need urgently to recover and reinstate the authentic Jesus, the Jesus of history, who is the Jesus of Scripture." He said that in 1975. Is that still true, that there are many Jesuses abroad today? Yeah, you bet. Today we have Jesus the myth. We have Jesus the revolutionary firebrand. Jesus the wise teacher. Jesus the non-judgmental acceptor of everyone. We have Jesus who's just one of many ways to God. And the list goes on in our culture. The incarnation separates the true Jesus from all of the counterfeits. The incarnation is the historical reality that God the Son, eternal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, submitted himself to take on our flesh to be born a human. The 14th verse of John chapter 1 states this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And it goes on to say, "And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father." Who is this Word? It's Jesus. The incarnation differentiates the true Jesus from all others, declaring that God the Son was born in flesh, thus revealing his glory and thus fulfilling the plan of God the Father from the beginning of time in the world. So this evening, as we look at the incarnation together, we're going to identify three aspects of the incarnation: identity, humility, and light. Now, I'd like you to take your Bibles. We're going to read together some verses out of John chapter 1. So in the blue Bibles in front of you, this isn't going to be on the slides. So if you'd like to read along with me, page 886. Says we're learning about the Word, we're going to read the Word together. So page 886, we're going to begin with verse 1. So together, if you're reading with me. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now move to verse 9. "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. First, we're going to focus on Jesus' identity, his true and eternal identity. In the first two verses here, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, do you hear the echo from the first book of the Bible? The first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis, that began, "In the beginning was the Word," or "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Both echoing "in the beginning." Whereas Genesis begins with God's activity at the beginning of creation, John speaks of a being who existed before creation took place. In the beginning, the Word already was, John declares. To understand who Jesus is and what he accomplished, we must begin, John declares, with Jesus' eternal identity and the relationship shared between the Father and the Son before the world began. Later in John's gospel, as Jesus prepared for his execution, he said this, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Incarnation begins with Jesus before the beginning of time, one with the Father. Taking again a look at verse number one, there's so much here. Looking again at verse one, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There is personal distinctness and essential oneness at the same time. Jesus was with God, indicating two distinct beings in personal relationship. And then Jesus was God, indicating an identity of being between them. This is perhaps impossible for our minds to fully grasp this reality, but it's the truth nonetheless. This is the picture Jesus proclaimed when he made the statement, "I and the Father are one." Incarnation proclaims Jesus' divine identity, one with the Father, existing before time, and then submitting to be born as a human child. And that's the second theme we will discuss of the incarnation this evening: humility. We read this once, and we'll read it again, verse 14 from John chapter 1. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Another way of saying that verse: so the Word became human and made his home among us. Jesus submitted himself to God's plan of salvation and entered Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, God the Son, one with the Father, eternal, through whom all things were created, humbly becoming a human embryo, a child in utero. With that image in mind, it begs the question, when do you think did Jesus begin to live in his mother's womb? When was he alive? In the beginning. Jesus entering Mary's womb, taking on the most helpless and vulnerable form of humanity. That's humility. Jesus, divine, eternal, all-powerful, entering Mary's womb, born a baby, living in human flesh with all its limitations, where he experienced hunger, fatigue, pain, sorrow, anxiety, temptation, everything you and I experience, Jesus suffering abandonment, torture, and execution. That humility takes my breath away. He gave up everything. This awe-inspiring humility then leads us to our third point of the incarnation, light. And I want to read verses 9 through 13 in the New Living Translation. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Jesus is the light produced through the incarnation. Jesus is the light that penetrates the darkness of this world. Jesus is the light that the darkness is not able to overcome. Jesus is the light the Jews did not recognize as the Messiah. Jesus is the light that the world rejected. Jesus is the light shining for the salvation of men and women, for every one of you and for me. John declares here that all who receive the light, who believe in the name of Jesus, they receive salvation. They're reborn anew as God's children, a new birth coming only from God. And that recalls Jesus' own words from John chapter 3, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again," the same word, born, reborn, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Tonight, some of you are here living a strictly human life. You're here without the new birth or the new life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You're here, but you've not yet been born again of God through faith in Jesus. I remember vividly as a younger person having this reality of the gift that Jesus offers in new life as it washed over me in the midst of a church service. I remember vividly not wanting to live another day without this new life in Jesus, separated from God. I believe tonight is that moment for some of you. Now, while I will not single anyone out, I do desire to wake you up to the reality of the truth of the incarnation, that God the Son was born. He lived and he died and he was resurrected from the grave to offer you new life. He was incarnate with the mission of offering forgiveness of sin through faith in his name, through his life, his death, and his resurrection. I don't want anyone to miss another day apart from the new life in Jesus Christ. If tonight you're not ready to face this truth or to make this leap of faith, I hope you will take the time to look into these things. And I make this offer. I'm willing to pay for coffee if you'd like to talk further with me. If you have any questions or if you'd just like a good cup of coffee, give me a call. It's on me. But if tonight you're where I was, you're ready, you realize you don't want to go another moment separated from the new life that's offered in the name of Jesus, then I invite you to pray with me quietly in your heart. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus Christ, tonight I look to you with new eyes. You are God the Son, eternal. You were born in flesh for me. You lived and gave your life for me. I confess my sin before you, and I turn to you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for redeeming me. Lead me, Jesus, into my new life, and shine in and through me. Amen. If tonight is a night of new birth for any one of you, I praise God for that. As the angels celebrated Jesus' birth, Hosanna in the highest, they now celebrate your new birth. And I'm aware many of you already have faith in Jesus Christ. And I now want to give a challenge to the rest of you. Incarnation isn't a myth, it's not a story, it is a historical reality that begs a response. Incarnation reframes the popular question, what would Jesus do, into what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He gave up everything in the incarnation to fulfill God's plan for salvation. The incarnation is too important to file away and to take for granted, to celebrate one day of the year and then move on. The reality of the incarnation changes everything. Because if the incarnation is truth and reality, then it deserves, it demands a response in how you live. If you say you have faith in Jesus, if you say you are a follower of Jesus, then the incarnation demands a response. The incarnation in the gospel of Jesus Christ changed everything for the disciples. They were never the same after they encountered Jesus, and they were recognized as his followers everywhere. Think about the early church in Acts, and through the early centuries, followers of Jesus were identified as his followers, readily identifiable in their culture. Think of the reformers taking a stand for Orthodox faith as deceptions and new religion was being sold. The reformers were identified as followers of the biblical Jesus. Right now, in many areas of the world, it's routine for people to lose everything, even their lives, because they believe in Jesus. They live as his followers. They're identifiable as his followers in their culture. And for that, they've lost everything. We see that in many of the refugee families that we encounter through our interactions at Church of the Redeemer with World Relief. Many of the refugees are Christians who were persecuted, who lost all that they had and had to leave their country of origin because of their faith in Jesus. Jesus gave his life for you, for salvation and new life, but just as important, he gave his life to you. Jesus lived to reveal the Father to us and to reveal what life lived in relationship with the Father looked like. He modeled as he lived how to endure the ups and downs of life. There's nothing we encounter that he did not encounter. But what he models is how to endure the ups and downs of life with the experience of God's peace, of God-given compassion and love that's only found in union with God Almighty. We don't have it on our own. We can't drum it up on our own. The peace that passes all understanding is only found in union and relationship with Almighty God, and Jesus models that for us. By the incarnation, he gives his life to us. He is our example. I'd like to offer a challenge to each of you as you leave this evening. Take the next days or even weeks and begin each day with the question, what did Jesus do? I challenge you to read the Gospels in the next days and weeks with your eyes and heart open, with that question in mind, what did Jesus do? Pay attention. Allow God to open your eyes as you read to what Jesus did, to how he lived, how he walked with God. For instance, regarding prayer, This is one of the ways God's been speaking to me personally as I've been wrestling with this. What did Jesus do in prayer? Did he tack a prayer onto the beginning and the end of every meeting with the disciples? Was he recorded saying quick prayers before every meal that they had? What did Jesus do? When you take a look at how he lived, how he walked in communion with the Father, in communication with the Father, open to God the Father's interruptions, sensitive to the working of God the Father. How when he was empty, he didn't regularly binge watch and take naps. He took away significant blocks of time to pray and commune with the Father when he was in need. Regularly, he got away to pray. He models a life of prayer. So, when you've answered what did Jesus do, whether it has to do with prayer or whether it has to do with whatever else God brings to mind for you as you read through the Gospels, when you answer that, you see what Jesus has done, ask God to guide you into living in the same way. Allow the question, what did Jesus do, to awaken your awareness of his way of life with the intention of actually seeking to do that, of following in his footsteps, of following his example and obeying his teaching. Don't be content just to know about Jesus or to know what he did. Allow his life to bring change and transformation as you reflect on his life. That as you grow in your faith and grow in Christ, you might be transformed to live like he did, be transformed to be recognizable as his follower in your culture, and in that, to be his light in the world. This is about doing what Jesus did. I've got a short video that I want you to watch here that kind of drives this point home.
Work in church and not anywhere else. Look, when my daughter comes to me and I say, hey, go clean your room, she knows better. She's not going to come back a couple hours later and say, hey, Dad, I memorized what you said to me. You said, go clean your room. You know, what am I going to say? Oh, good job. That's what I wanted. No. And she's not going to come to me and say, Dad, I can say, go clean your room in Greek. Listen, that's not going to fly. And what if she says, you know what? My friends and I, we're going to gather together, and every week we're going to have a study, and we're going to figure out what it would look like if I cleaned my room. No, none of that's going to fly. Just go and clean it. She knows that. So why do we think that this type of thinking or this type of talk is going to work with Jesus? I mean, Jesus was as black and white as you get. He would look at people and he'd say, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? He says that in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I ask you to do? I mean, why would you call someone your master and then not listen to him? And he says in Matthew 7:21, he goes, listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only the one who actually does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
I didn't really like that video at first because it brings conviction. What did Jesus say in Scripture, in his life? What did Jesus do? And how will you respond? I pray that the reality of the incarnation, Jesus being born, brings real awakening to your hearts, brings real transformation into your lives, and inspires you to live like him, to look like him, and to be his witnesses and his light to the world. And I just want to close with prayer. Lord Jesus, may the truth of your incarnation Wake us up this Christmas. Open our eyes to all that you did. Increase our faith and our trust in you. And lead us to live and proclaim the light of your incarnation and our new life in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.